Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Then he said to them all, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Later on, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So let me ask you a question this morning. Let me start with a question. So if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, then who comes first in your life? I'll give you a hint. Starts with G. Rhymes with odd. So who's first? Right. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, with all your mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." So God is to be first. We say that. The question then becomes, do we really reflect that in our lives, though? And so let me kind of illustrate this morning. So think about what are important, the important categories in our lives. What are things that are really important to us? What do we think? Family. Family would be one. What else that's really important to us in our lives? Friends are important. Yep, relationships. What else? What do you spend most of your time doing? Working, right? So we got careers. Now, and then the careers, because, you know, we work, we earn stuff. And so so money becomes very important then, doesn't it? And then if we're not working and those kind of things, then we're trying to find time for what a lot of times? Family. What else? Hobby. Yeah, you got it. Hobby, see? Yeah, so hobbies is another one. So, you know, whatever that might be for us. So those are important things. And there's a lot more. And so I was thinking about that and how to illustrate this. And so we say, like, think about these chairs as, you know, the important things in our life. And we could have a whole row. I just don't have room for a whole row. But so we say that God would be first, right? And then, well, we say family, but a lot of times probably what's really second takes up most of our time is what? Career. All right, and then our others. So this is what we say, but let's be honest, okay? Let's just be honest this morning. What's usually occupied in this first chair? Probably this, right? And then, let's see, if we're really honest, because most of our time is spent doing this, and then, you know, we come home, we have time, we probably are probably that. And then, you know, all of that, you know, this, we want to provide for our family, so that becomes really important. You know, we want stuff, good stuff, whatever. We want to have this so that we can have time for and be able to pursue whatever our hobbies are, right? Whether it's golf or gardening or speed knitting, you know, whatever. This is kind of what the parties look like, I think, a lot of times, or our lives truly reflect. And then we have, you know, we still have God. Well, you know, we'll just put God back here for a while. But that usually kind of looks like, if we're honest with ourselves, this sort of looks like, I think, our lives. That's why in this series, we've been talking about what it means to be sort of Christian. And I define that as, you know, having enough of Jesus where it makes you feel good, but not so much of Jesus that it really changes much in your life, right? So we kind of want the benefits without the, you know, without the surrender, without that. So we're sort of Christian. And one of the most common characteristics, I think, of sort of Christian that I think we all struggle with, I struggle with as well, is we have this tendency in the midst of that to compromise our devotion. I call it compromised devotion. You know, we have this divided heart, all right? Our heart is divided, and so what we say is not necessarily reflected in our lives, all right? We say God is first with our words, but maybe not so much in our lives, because I think maybe our lives maybe look more like this. You know, I want to honor God, I want to live God, I want to please for God, I want to serve God, I want to follow God. But you know what? Life happens, and we got careers, and we got family, and you know, we want stuff, and we want to enjoy our lives, and so our heart becomes divided, and we compromise our devotion. We're sort of Christian. I like how Pastor Kyle Idleman he talks about it as a lot of times we become more of a fan rather than a follower. Now, how do you define? I define fan as like an enthusiastic admirer, right? And we're all fans of different things. Some of us are sports fans, aren't we? Right? So we may go to their game, we cheer them on, we watch them on TV. We might even have a jersey of our favorite player or of our favorite team. We might be part of the Mint City Collective. Anybody know what that fan base is? You are not that big of fans, obviously, of the Charlotte FC Soccer Club. All right? That's what some of them are called. We might be, you know, we might be a Caniac. Hurricanes, there you go. Carolina Hurricanes, hockey. We might be a Gooner. Jesse, what's a Gooner? There you go. I see, I put that one just for you, buddy. All right? So Jesse is, so now you can just say, hey, Jesse, hey, Gooner. You can just, now you can just call him that. All right? Oh, but you know, you might be a devil, you might be a heel, you might be a deke, you might be part of a wolf pack or whatever. We are all fans of different things. Sometimes we're fans of artists. There are Swifties. Who are they? We all know that one, don't we? Yeah, Taylor Swift, right? There's, let's see, well, there are parrot heads. Do we remember what parrot heads are? Yeah. Jimmy Buffett. I asked my family this yesterday. They didn't know this one either. You might be part of the Beehive. The choir knows it. So are you part of the Beehive, Miss Linda? No? Okay, just checking. But yes, Beyonce. Exactly. It's fun. I had fun looking these up. You could be a fan. You might be a Potterhead. Harry Potter. Right? Or a Dunderhead. There you go. I knew somebody get it. Think about that one. So there's all kinds. We're fans of all kinds of things, aren't we? Right? We're all kinds of fans. Sometimes we become a fan of Jesus rather than a follower of Jesus. We compromise our devotion. We're sort of Christian. You know, we come together. Many of us, we come together once a week, and we take our seat, and we stand, and we sing, and we, you know, we look at our little programs, and we might even applause on occasion, and then we leave. And at some point along the way, we probably evaluate the sermon or the hymn or the songs that we sang. Right? Whether we liked it, we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And then we, you know, in another week or another month or another year, we come and we do it all over again. Right? So, and we think it's all about us, don't we? Right? We think this is all about us, and yet that's not what worship means at all. I got an email once from a church member, and they said that they were moving their membership. Not the first one I've gotten like that. But they're moving their membership because they thought my sermons interfered too much with their life. Not the first one. Don't want to be the last one. Now, they didn't mean that as a compliment. But I took it as such, okay? I did. I mean, it was to me. Because I had a seminary professor who said, you know, kind of the role of an effective pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And I like that. To comfort the afflicted, to afflict the comfortable. Now, listen, I can afflict you in lots of different ways, okay? I can spout off all kinds of words to get a rise out of you, all right? I can, you know, we could talk Democrat, we could talk Republican, we could talk progressive, we could talk liberal, conservative, I could talk about DEI or immigration or Trump or Biden or whatever, and I can get a rise out of you, okay? Good or bad, it doesn't matter. But I'm not a radio talk show host. I'm not a podcaster, okay? I'm none of those things. Because this is not a political rally, okay? This is worship. And worship is to be directed first and foremost to God. And so what I'm most concerned about is our relationship with God. And then that informs everything else in our lives, and you're going to have to make that decision. But what I'm most concerned, what did Jesus say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Starts there, and then the other part of that, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the most important. So guess what? That's what I'm concerned about most importantly. So if I'm going to do some afflicting, it's going to be along those lines. And I think that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't come so that we might improve our behavior or tune up our personalities or our character or smooth out the rough spots in our lives. He's not looking for sort of Christians or fans or people with compromised devotion. He's looking for followers. And that's what we see here in our passage from Luke this morning in Luke chapter 9. Because Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to follow me, you deny yourself and you take up the cross. And then at the end of the chapter, he's confronted by three would-be followers, right? But in reality, are enthusiastic admirers. They've compromised their devotion. They're more of a fan. The first one we read about in verse 57, it says, as they are going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? They're talking a good game. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, you know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What Jesus is doing, I think, is he's pointing out in this person who said, I will follow you wherever you go. Yeah, you say that, but here's the thing of what I see. You kind of like your comfort. All right? You kind of like your comfort. I kind of like my comfort. I don't know about you. I do. Y'all remember the things called Snuggies? I got a picture of them if you don't know what they are. Blankets with sleeves, right? Remember those? Well, you can still probably get them. When I first saw these, I thought, who in the world wants to buy a blanket with sleeves? It's just a bathrobe that you're wearing backwards, right? That's what it looked like to me. Who in the world would want this? And yeah, I looked it up this week. Can you guess how many Snuggies have been sold? 30 million. 30 million Snuggies, and that's probably not even counting the knockoffs. 30 million Snuggies have been sold. Why have we sold? People bought these because we like our comfort, don't we? You know, it's comfortable. It's convenient. But Jesus isn't calling us to be comfortable. He's not calling us to convenience. He says, take up the cross. And so that means sometimes we're going to be uncomfortable. We're going to be inconvenienced. And so that brings the question then becomes, well, is our relationship with Jesus, is it more out of convenience or is it commitment? Is it convenience or commitment? And I came across something that kind of illustrated that this week. We're talking about flexitarians. Ever heard of a flexitarian? a flexitarian. Yeah, let me tell you. A flexitarian is a flexible vegetarian. Seriously. A flexible vegetarian is a flexitarian. And they were interviewing, I think CNN, somebody was doing a news report on it, and they were interviewing a flexitarian, and they said, you know what, I'm a vegetarian, except I really like bacon. That was okay. And then they went on to say, I really like vegetarian food, but I'm not 100% committed. So a flexitarian is sort of vegetarian, aren't they? All right? They like it, but they're not 100% committed. Sort of Christian. It's like the old song, Jesus is just all right with me. Remember that? Some of us remember that. Yeah, I love this song. Not quite the message. Jesus is just all right with me. I like Jesus, but I'm not 100% committed. Yeah. I like Jesus, but you know, I really don't like serving the poor. I'll go to church, I'll go to worship, if I don't have anything better to do. I like Jesus, but you know what? In this area of my life, I'm going to do my own thing. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do, you know, when I'm with these friends, when in this situation, I'm not 100% committed. I want to follow, but yeah, don't ask me to forgive that person who hurt me. I want to follow, but don't ask me to give. You know, I worked hard for that. That's mine. I like Jesus when it's convenient. Not 100% committed. Verse 59, we meet another would-be follower. Jesus says to another man, follow me. The man replies, well, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And so one of the first words out of this guy's mouth is the word first. First, let me. First, let me. So I will, but for, he's putting Jesus off, right? I want to, but now it's just not the best time. Right? First, I want to. And it's kind of like we treat Jesus like the diet that we intend to start, but we don't start. It's like, Jesus, I'm gonna follow you, but first let me finish my chimichanga, right? I want to follow you, but first let me do this. When I'm out of college, when I get married, when I have kids, when I'm retired, when I have more time, whatever. It's like in the morning, we keep hitting the snooze button, right? And we keep putting it off. We know we got to get up, but we keep putting it off. We know, Jesus, I want to follow, but we keep putting it off. And that's what's with this guy. But you might say, people look at it and say, well, this guy, it's legitimate. It's a good ask, right? First, let me go and bury my father. That's not a bad thing. That's a good ask, right? Some scholars, they look at this passage and say, yeah, well, it was just his way of making an excuse. We don't know if his father has even died yet. Let me bury my father, because then I'll have my inheritance. You know, he won't be able to disapprove then I'll follow you, whatever. But Jesus responds, the excuse is not good enough. I know it looks good, but it's not really close, is not good enough. Right? Jesus saying, the time is now. Because Jesus knows the longer we put it off, the harder it is, the less likely it is that we're going to follow. Think about that. The longer we put it off, the less likely we are to ever follow. The third would-be follower comes. It says, I will follow you, but what? First, let me say farewell to my those at home. And Jesus says, no one who puts a hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom. So it's kind of some hyperbole here. First, Jesus says, no first, because I'm supposed to be first, right? I'm supposed to be first. Priorities, right? Comes down to priorities. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And so when we look at these, as you look at these, is it a close reflection of maybe what your life looks like? Huh? God's trying to tell you something, I'm telling you. If something, if you're feeling a little convicted, it's probably because something maybe is out of whack a little bit. Because the thing that we resist the hardest is probably the things that we need to do something about. And so God says, I want to be first. And so it's not about just removing something and we just take it away. It's about replacing it. And none of these things are bad. They're all good. God just says, I want to be here, not way down there. And I think a lot of times, we don't put God here because we don't trust that everything else is going to work out, going to be okay. We don't trust, I think it comes down, we don't trust the goodness of God or how good God is. We want to hedge our bets maybe. We don't trust that if we put God first, that it's going to be good. We resist the hardest, that which often reveals what it is that controls us the most. And yet God says, seek first his righteousness above everything else. And when we do that, we begin to seek God, then everything else falls. Why? Because then our priorities have been shifted in what we desire, what we want, becomes aligned to what God desires and what God wants for us. When we trust that. Psalmist writes, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The desires become, in line with what God desires for us. When we begin to trust this, we begin to want what God wants. But see, the only way to know that God is really good is to put God first. See, God's not trying to take anything away. God's not saying take anything away. It's just put me here versus there or somewhere else. Said, I'm just trying to give you something better. Indescribably better. I'm trying to give you myself when you put me first. So I don't know about you, but my chair looks a lot like this sometimes. They're all vying for something. And a lot of times God's way down here. And you say, well, career, God, well, aren't those the same? No, they're not necessarily the same just because I happen to be a pastor. Right? And so what I need to do, maybe you need to do, is just, I need to ask God to first to forgive me and then to help me make the change. So that's what I want to invite us simply to do this morning. It's just, as we go to God in prayer this morning, to simply say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for all the ways in which I put other things first. Forgive me for my compromised devotion. Forgive me for being sort of Christian. Forgive me for being a fan, not really a follower. Forgive me. So forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us as your people. Forgive us as your church. Help us to put you first. Help us as families, as parents, to do this. Help us to delight in you and to trust that you truly are good. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.